When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the American Arts and Culture View podcast. My name is Whitmer Thomas and I'm joined as always by my number one co-host Clay Tatum. Today we have our number one guest, Mike O'Brien, and our number one audience member, Rodney Berry.
It's me on the games.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Like and subscribe. Hit it, Clay.
Okay, baby, it's me on the games, baby. There's a little more. Is that getting longer? Because we normally, it seems like it's getting longer.
Man, I don't know.
The intro?
I feel it is getting longer.
What is that? What is going on with the keyboard?
The song is longer.
Yeah, the song is longer.
To get to the point where I end it, it seems like it takes forever now. Or are you going faster?
Well, I got,
Hey, what are we doing today?
Well, today we're talking about, today we have our number one guest, Mike O'Brien, who has been on TV.
Uh-huh.
He has television.
Tell me on this guy.
Well, he has a show on AP Bio.
I don't like that.
There's a show within it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
that when they pull and they had the TV on the black little thing, they roll it in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that show.
You have that?
I produced that show, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which keeps getting cut out of AP Bio, but.
Interesting. What I would say at first I didn't like it because it reminded me of school. And yeah. But now it reminds me of the time when I'm in school and I don't like it. And then they wheel that thing out and I'm like, well, now I'm happy about that.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a lot.
Let me play some scientific
Would you
music.
Find, Mike, that that's a common reason that some people don't initially want to watch the show because they hate school stuff?
Yeah, I always ask people, like, why do you not watch the show? and then school is one of them. Other people are like, oh, I don't want to. I'm watching Penis 15. You know, I'm busy.
That's a big show.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's school stuff in that.
There's school stuff in that.
But you watch that outside the school, McGay.
Well, that's what a lot of people need to realize is just because the show or the movie is about school doesn't mean that they're in school.
Right.
But we're the perfect audience because we're all legally underage except for...
Well, Mike just turned 22.
I am of age.
He's 22.
Are you showing it?
Yeah. And...
I'm not buying for you guys.
Really? You won't?
Actually, I will.
That's cool.
Okay.
Well, edit that out, please. For real. My parents will fucking rape me.
Okay. Rod does this great deal with our older friends where he gives them $100 if they buy us one
condom, cigarettes, and beers.
Yeah.
Those three things, $100, easy.
That'll get you a ton of all of those.
Yeah.
We just need one of each.
Yeah.
Oh.
I always say, Rod, have him spend it all. And Rod says, no, one of each.
One of each. And sometimes I'm still wearing mine. So I go, you can skip me this round.
Well, after Clay goes for a deep dick, he keeps it on.
I like to wear it out. Let me play some music.
Do you ever do that in college? When you're doing your college stuff at the age of 22?
Yeah. Do we ever wear a condom for intercourse, then become flaccid, but leave it on?
And then say?
And then go on a new date, or maybe go back to the person, perhaps you're dating him or her, and you say, I'd like to do what we did again. And you... attain erection with the same condom on.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what college is, you idiots.
You're
dealing with the major leagues.
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, I can't wait to get there, and that's why we keep ours on after.
Yeah,
because I love beefing up in my boy.
I really like drying them out. What's the movie that you're talking about?
Oh, okay. Well, Yeah, so we saw a film. All of us went to the movies. Well, some of us did. We've all seen the movie Green Book.
That sounds like a book, my guy.
It's a movie.
Explain to me why.
And there is a book in the movie, but they talk about it. He looks at it twice, and it's called Green Book.
What is this? Can you explain to me one more time?
I can. Can I?
Yeah, sure.
What type of music should I do?
Something like nice.
It's like a jazz. It's a jazz movie
with like a low drone under. Yeah. So
here we go.
I think what I was thinking when I first started watching it was, oh, this is cheesy. This is corny.
Mm-hmm.
This is dumb. And then the plagiarism stuff starts to come in, and you're like, huh, this is about something more than I thought it was about. It's about plagiarism, too. And the little girl gets in trouble, and you're like, I want to see how this gets resolved.
I don't remember. There's no little girl in the Green Book.
In the
Green Book.
Say it slower.
Green Book.
Spell it out if you could.
Wait, hold on. Mike. Sorry, Mike has his hands over his eyes.
I watched and researched Green Boots, an episode of the television program Chicken Soup for the Soul, which aired briefly in 1999 and had an episode called Green Boots. You mumble, Wit.
Yeah, that's true. This is all Wit's fault.
Say it really fast, and I did think, but he might be talking about that one, the episode title a show that came out.
You knew about this too?
Well, I knew about that, but I was one step ahead of you because I've never seen the movie.
Okay. So I asked Mike to be on this podcast last night at a show, and it was loud. And I guess
what type of show was it?
It's a comedy show. And Mike said, "Oh." Yeah, he seemed really excited to talk about Green Boots.
I was like, what are we going to talk about? And you're like, Green Boots, as far as I heard. And I was like, I've never heard of that. It took me a long time to track that sucker down.
Well, how did you have to end up watching it?
I ended up having to watch. It was over $45 to download. And they said, this is it then. And it's no longer data online. But it's Shelley Long, and she's a teacher. And there's this girl. And we can talk about the other one in a minute, but just to break this down, there's a girl and she's new at school, and so she wants to impress, no doubt. And Shelley Long is her teacher and gives them all the assignment to paint an original picture of themselves, a self-portrait, if you will.
Hmm.
And the little girl comes in with this great painting of herself in green boots, in her favorite green boots. And it's pretty clear an adult did it. Shelley Long is like, I'm paraphrasing, but she's like, that's not yours. And the girl's like, yeah, it is. And she's like, go out in the hall and come back when you wish to admit that you didn't do the assignment alone because you were supposed to paint yourself alone. And she's out in the hall, and Brent Briscoe.
Hey?
Huh? Plays the janitor. That's an actor name. And he plays the janitor, and he and the little girl kind of have a little talk about plagiarism.
Oh.
And it's a little bit of chicken soup for the soul and the heart.
That's the soup?
Wow.
And so what would you give that episode of Chicken Soup
for the Soul? Scale from 0 to 10.
From 0 to 10, I would give Green Boots a 10.
Okay.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay.
Awesome.
It's actually a perfect score.
Yeah. So.
I was doing the double. You said 0 to 10. Because it was.
Well, 10's the best.
Well, then that's what I would give it, because that was it was a very good episode and not always the best show. Chicken Soup for the Soul had ups and downs throughout that season.
Right.
Like what?
Well, there's the hole in the sock toe one.
Like that.
It's no Green Boots.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Dang. Well, okay, so Green Boots and Green Book have a lot in common because there's a large moral dilemma in Boots, which is don't steal
painting.
Other people's art. Yeah. And in Green Book, it is racism is bad.
Yeah.
Which is a common theme.
You had to remind people.
Many pieces of art is that racism is actually bad. The film opens with Viggo Mortensen working at Coco Cabana, which is the bar from The Mask where Jim Carrey does his dancing. And Jim Carrey's actually not in this because he was not allowed in that bar in the movie, but the mask was. But I, the mask
who's
isn't.
Who's not allowed in the bar?
Jim Carrey.
Why not?
Stanley Ipkiss. Because he's a dork. A nerd.
What did you say to me?
He's a dork. And so this I'm tying it all together because we've got Green Boots, uh-huh. we have Green Book, and we have the mask, uh-huh. who is green.
Jim Carrey.
Green-faced. No, yeah.
He's green-faced.
Oh.
Okay. So the mask isn't, he's in the bar, but he's not shown, but we all know, like, clearly there's the mask dancing around somewhere.
He's somewhere in the back room.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so... So Viggo Mortensen is there too, and he gets mad at a guy and steals his hat, and then the Viggo Mortensen also punches a guy's lights out because he works as a security at the bar. And then later, that guy whose hat he stole is like, "Where's my hat?" And then Viggo is like, "Oh, I've actually found your hat." And the guy gives him money, and then you go, "Oh, I see. Viggo is a he's a sneaky little hustler.
He's running
guy.
A scam.
He's running a scam, which I like scam.
What's a scam?"
The scam is a classic steal hat, then one person needs hat back, say, "Oh, I found your hat," mm-hmm. scam. Have you ever heard of this scam?
And this is very profitable money-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Mike, you are known as a New York expert, and you lived in New York.
I was about to say.
You lived in New York for most of your...
you know about all these schemes.
Your late teens and early 20s, you lived in New York.
I did, and that the hat scam is happening on the subways as we speak right now. And the subways are basically a spider web underground.
Oh, wow.
That can get you from here to there in a matter of minutes.
This is kind of like the L.A. car.
Yeah.
Well, it's underground, and they're trains. It's more like an underground train.
Oh.
And there's...
In L.A., we have above-ground cars.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes. And there's these grifters, the famous grifters on the ML and P lines. And they'll come up to you and be like, "Have you lost anything?" And you go, "No." And they're like, "Check." And so you like look through, and sure enough, you're always like, "Oh, my backpack's gone." They're like, "Has I found one? I'll give it to you for $10. And you... fall for it almost every day on the way to work, and you're like, "Here's $10, I'll take any backpack," and then you're like, "Hey, this, this has all my stuff in it. This works out great." And you end up like tipping them and everything.
Because so they're nice. But then you turn out they're grifters.
You're getting swindled on the P line.
Yeah. You get swindled on the P line.
Oof.
That also is what I call it when you try to get a condom to work twice.
Man, I just got swindled on the P line.
That thing didn't work the second time around. I got swindled on the P line.
Okay, so he's a sneaky little guy, and then it turns out that Coco Cabana is shut down probably because the mask is some crazy shit.
Broke some plates.
Yeah, and it's got to shut down for all the holidays, and he needs a job. And so he's offered a job to drive Doc Shirley is his name, right?
Yeah.
Doc Shirley, who he thinks is a doctor, but it turns out he's a famous pianist who needs a driver.
What'd you say to me?
He's a famous pianist.
Kiss your mom with that mouth?
Piano player.
Oh, okay. I get you.
But do you kiss your mom?
Yeah.
On the lips?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you?
No.
Yeah?
I know some people that do, and I won't tell their names.
Yeah. What about you, Rod?
I mean, I would, I guess.
Yeah, I would.
Too. Mwah. I would for sure.
Would you ever?
I don't know if I'd do that.
I would go, "Mama, come here."
Would you ever go?
Wait, you would go before you would make a
I would go. I would let me just do it one more
well,
time.
Well, you know your mom's gonna say, taste good.
I would say, "Mama, come here."
That's.
Do you think your mom is a good kisser?
My mom freaking rocks.
My mom's definitely listening to this. Because
what's her favorite type of music?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Enya?
For you,
Miss O'Brien.
This is for you, Miss Mike.
Oh, you have Enya.
Yeah.
But so we don't know. Your mom is probably, yeah, she would want you to say she's a good kisser.
Yeah, but if we, if I can confirm, I'll email you later. And if she's not watching this, I don't know if she is a great kisser. Because I feel like to be a good kisser, you have to have a madness to you, you know?
My mom's crazy.
I bet she's a great kisser.
Yeah.
And my mom's like a great mom and grandmother, and so maybe she's not the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet she kisses great. I bet it's like she loses herself in the kiss, you know?
Yeah.
Like her, there's that first level of relaxing and then like a second level of relaxing where suddenly her mouth is like soup.
After a mama kiss, she gasps and I have to remind her where she is.
Where is she?
She's in my room.
In your arms, yeah.
Wait, what?
So you're in your son's room.
Yeah, and in my arms.
Wait, who's she? Oh, and she's every kissing time you.
Whenever Clay's mom gives him one of her famous kisses, he faints. He puts his hand on his forehead like that and faints.
And on the way down, he answers her question, where am I? In my room.
Well, so yeah. So he's got to take a break because the mask got into some trouble with Coco Cabana.
So we're okay, Kitty. Okay, let's just run down. I'm getting lost.
We're
I'm
entering the lost. Second act.
Okay, so what has happened so far? I'm lost.
He did some hustling at
what
the
type of
club.
Music should I play?
Some clubby, bouncy, jazzy music with a jazz pop tinge.
You never do what we request anyway.
Wait, here's no. Okay, what did he just say?
Jazzy movie poppy top 10.
Okay, and listen to this.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate to me.
This song's called Railroad.
So he walks himself to the job interview and says, "I ain't no driver. I ain't gonna drive you because you're
explain why.
Because I ain't taking orders from a black man.
Oh, you see that?
He's racist, and you know that he's racist because
Vino's racist.
Yeah. Because in the beginning, he threw away some glasses that two black guys drank out of. He threw him in the trash.
Oh, this is what this is how you spend your time?
Well, that's like he's like fully racist.
Well, yeah, he's got to learn.
He's not just like the type of racist that says like mean racist stuff. He's also throwing away things that they touched. So he's like full-blown racist. So then the guy goes, "But I'll give you double what I originally was offering." And then he goes, "Okay, sir." And then so he's driving the Mahershala Ali around to the south to play piano. Mm-hmm. And about 3 minutes into driving him, he writes a letter to his wife and says,
"While driving?"
No, they're at the motel.
Okay.
Hotel. And he goes, "Dear wife, Mahershala Ali, Doc Shirley, is actually a good guy and he's sad. And I pretty much love him now." So he's not racist anymore now.
Yeah, he learns immediately to stop being racist.
How far into the movie are we?
Well, this is the very beginning of the second act.
And his character arc is at complete.
Oh, he's done.
Okay.
Feels like it should be like, dun. He's not racist anymore. Like,
No, I'm one step ahead of you.
Oh, gets behind.
I'm not racist anymore.
Nice.
He's sad, this guy.
Yes.
I care for him. So let's keep going to the south.
Yes.
Doc Shirley. And so they're driving, and then they encounter racist people.
Woo!
And then Vigo is going, "Hey, this bad to be racist. If you're racist to my friend, I'm going to kick your ass." And
we then, won.
And Doc Shirley's going, You shouldn't do violence because it only causes trouble, pal. And he goes, "I'm going to do what I want because I don't like people being racist to my number one friend who I love you and I'm a big fan." And in the meantime, Doc Shirley's like, "I'm going to teach you how to write good letters to your wife."
Where am I?
And we actually are immediately friends.
Yeah. Fairly quickly.
And Vigo is like, "Well, I'm going to teach you about how to like black stuff."
Yes!
And Vigo teaches...
Because I actually understand your culture much more than you ever could. And he's like, okay. So he teaches them all these racial stereotypes, like how to eat fried chicken and stuff.
All right!
Yeah.
That sounds like a great scene.
Yeah. And boy, is he, what an angel Viggo Mortensen is. He's just a total angel.
He's up for trying the chicken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, first Doc Shirley doesn't want it, and then he ends up doing it, and it's like, well, thank God for Viggo. What an angel. He taught this man how to eat chicken. And so then they go to the south even more, and then the cops, they are giving Mahershala Ali a bad time. And then Viggo is like, hey, why are you talking to him like that? You shouldn't be doing that. And he goes, well, why are you talking like that? And he goes,
Because
I'm Italian. And he goes,
but why, why are you talking like that?
Because I'm Italian.
Wait, you what?
I'm Italian.
You what?
I'm Italian. That's why I talk like this.
What's you doing later?
I gotta drive this guy to a show.
Can I get in the car?
No.
Can I say something?
What?
When I booked this.
All right, this seems serious. Let me get some serious music.
Maybe no music for 2 seconds, brother. There's a lot of music in this. I was told this was something different.
Okay. What did we tell you?
I was told this was essentially a pre-interview for a stand-up spot on Jimmy Fallon.
We're not there yet.
Oh.
No, that comes later.
Also,
yeah.
I have a quick story about the South. Yeah, are you guys all Southern hick guys? Right?
Just Clay and I.
Yeah, just them two.
I was in the gross part of the South once, you know?
Where?
Just the grossest. You know what I'm... Don't make me.
Yeah.
And perhaps like our characters in Green Boots, book. My girlfriend at the time and I were driving from New Orleans up to Chicago, and we wanted to see a gator. Because if you're in the South, you're like, maybe we check out some gators. And we were driving through some gross swamp, you know.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Mad love to the South if I ever get to tour. I don't know. I don't think I could really sell out. Anyway, I did a hard U-turn and because I thought I saw a gator and it wasn't anything. It was just some like muck. And a cop pulled me over and these two classic Southern cops sauntered up to the car. And my girlfriend leaned over out the window when I was talking to them and they were talking about the illegal U-turn. And I was talking about trying to see a gator. And she said, he writes for the show SNL. And it was embarrassing because I was like, don't do that. And they thought for a long time and then said, is that the one with Steve Harvey?
Wow.
And it was a good reminder that no one cares.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No one cares about anything you do.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope. No, Clay, you know, that's the truth. Clay and I made a whole TV show about our hometown, and they'd never seen it or heard of it.
Yeah.
They go, what's that?
They go, what? You did what?
Yeah.
We go, we made a cartoon about you. You're in it.
It's about you. You're the star of a show. Is Steve Harvey in it? Is that the one with Steve Harvey? I was like, by the way, I think that's called the Steve Harvey Show.
Yeah.
This was before Family Feud.
Wow, this is before Family Feud, so you must have been 11.
I wrote for SNL from, age 12 to...
Lady likes to get them young.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Lauren's thing is he likes to get those nubiles.
Yeah. Okay, so they're deeper into the South than they've ever been. Yeah. He's late for his piano audition.
He's late for his piano show. These cops pull him over, and they say, what are you? And he goes, I'm Italian. And he goes, you're Italian? That means you're part... has two
now
racial.
It feels like we do need music.
It just turned off. It keeps on turning off now.
Okay.
We probably need new batteries.
Yeah. Damn it. Well, I tried that and look what it does.
Well, he goes, that means you are two racial slurs if you're Italian. You're this and you're this. Uh-huh. You're the W word and the N word. And then Viggo rears back and punches him in the face. They go to jail.
Watch.
Yeah. Ow. Then Mahershala Ali goes, I get my one phone call. And he goes, no, you don't. And then the other cop goes, he has rights. Because there's one nice cop.
He's a nice guy.
And then, so he gives him his phone, and then he calls Bobby Kennedy.
Huh?
Bobby Kennedy?
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's in the movie?
He's close to the
president. He's on the phone.
I mean, the character is in the...
So he calls Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah,
he
gives him a phone call.
Bobby Kennedy gets the governor to let him out of jail. So Bobby Kennedy calls him and goes, you let my friend out of jail right now.
Not bad. I can't believe the keyboard's dead under that.
Yeah. He goes, you need to let my friend out of jail right now so he can go to Birmingham, Alabama and play piano. And so he goes and he plays he goes to the piano place to play, and he wants to get dinner.
Oh, classic piano place.
He wants to get dinner with Viggo at the dinner.
Wait, who's getting the dinner at the Viggo?
Mahershala
and Vigo. They want to get a dinner together.
It's always them. It's probably always them.
It's always them.
There's like two other guys, but they're unimportant.
Where yeah. Remember the cop?
There's the cops.
The cop, Bobby Kennedy, and then the rest is just these two.
So yeah. they go get dinner. Vigo does, and they're waiting for Mahershala, and then they realize that Mahershala isn't being allowed to get dinner. Can you believe
Why
that?
Why is that?
Because of segregation. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that. Yeah. When does this take place?
1960.
In that time, that's
a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Green Boots also takes place in 1960, but they never reference it. There's nothing gained or lost by the fact that it's a 1999 episode of Chicken Soup for the Soul that is taking place in 1960. But
well, you could say that the green boot is symbolism for the boots that were walking the walk.
Vietnam or the Barbara Sinatra?
Either.
The boots are walking.
Just any, the, I mean, I, what is that
her
song?
Sister These Nancy? Boots are made for walking, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day they're going to walk all over you, and the you in that case is President Nixon.
Viet Cong, yeah.
Yeah. So they get to Birmingham, and they go, I can't play the show because you won't let me to have my food here. And so they leave. And then finally, Vigo.
What type of music should I do for this?
Play some bit bopping blues.
I want to type in bit bopping. This is not as a good thing, but I want to type it on my phone. So
play some bit bopping blues.
Okay! I have to write down bit bopping.
Yeah, so play it, man.
Okay.
So that Vigo's like, finally, I can take you to a place where you belong. And he takes him to a blues club bar.
Here we go.
And he's like, let me show you.
Go.
This is hard with singing.
I don't know what to do. My keyboard's broken. Okay?
Let me show you what it's like. Let me show you what you're supposed to be.
Clay, you can't.
This is what you asked for.
This is not Fallon. This has nothing to do. You guys are not affiliated with Fallon.
No, we work with Jimmy Fallon. We're close to him.
Look what came up.
Okay, well. Okay, fine. I got a new
hurry up the movie. Finish the movie.
So he's going to a bar where everybody's doing the ooby dooby.
Okay.
He's going to a bar where everybody's doing the ooby.
Wait, I have to do ooby dooby now?
Everybody's doing the ooby dooby.
Okay, so and I'm confused.
They're eating chicken, and Mahershala Ali goes.
Introducing Pure Leaf Herbal Ice.
Mahershala.
What is this?
Mahershala Ali goes.
All right, now I'm feeling the movie.
So Mahershala Ali gets on stage and he starts playing the ooby dooby, and that's when Vigo realized this guy is the most talented man on the planet. He can do any kind of music. He can do fancy jazz, classical, and he can do ooby dooby. Thank God for me. I'm an angel sent from above. I taught him all about his culture. I'm the best. Then Mahershala and Vigo are like, let's go home. So they go back home. They get to drive and they're in the snow. And then another cop pulls him over. And he goes, hey, what are you doing here? And they go, oh, man, another racist cop. And he goes, with the flat tire. Let me help you fix it. And so it turns out they're in the north. And they get home. And Vigo invites Mahershala to have dinner with him and his whole racist family. And Mahershala comes. But now his family somehow isn't racist anymore. And that's the end.
Wait, now I got to write this down.
That's your review?
Wait, what's the last part? What's the last part of the thing?
Takes him to, they drive through the snow. The guy, cop, helps him with the tire, but you think he's going to be racist.
Right.
But he's actually a tire man.
Because the story is less about Vigo changing and all cops changing. And by the end of the movie, the cops get it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they're like, we should be nice.
Well, Vigo changes 1 minute into the second act.
Oh, right. He's faster.
Yeah, really quickly just goes, you know what? I'm not racist.
I'm going to find those glasses, get them out of the trash.
Yeah. Well, his wife already did. But I forgot to mention that in my review. So I, because of all that stuff that I had talked about, I give this movie, and just like the Academy Awards, I give this probably the easiest 10 out of 10 I've ever given.
And that's
anything.
The best score. That's
easily my favorite score to give, best score to give. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10 for Green Book for me. What do you think, Mike?
Given the description and what you said about...
Well, it's a review. Gave a review.
The review and what you said about when they were at the bar. Mm-hmm. And given weighing also the two cop scenes,
mm-hmm.
I'd give it a 10.
Out of
10.
Wow. 10 out of 10. That's good. Really good.
I'd give it the top one.
I'd give it the top one.
Okay, Ron, what do you think about this movie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to have to say the Academy, they knocked it out of the park again. This is a perfect 10 out of 10.
That's wow. the best score you can give in the best movie of the
so
year.
So far, that's a perfect score.
What does Clay Tatum think about this? Wait, before I do my review that I wrote down, what type of music should I play? I have Ooby Dooby, the instrumental.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to do my score.
Everybody loves the song Ooby Dooby without the guy saying Ooby Dooby.
Yeah, it's way better. And then do you want me? Then we'll go right into. Do I go right into my audition?
We'll save that.
We're saving that.
We got a couple more things we got to do. And what first we got to do is we got to do Ooby Dooby. I'll get my review over it. So here's Ooby Dooby. What year did this? What year does this come out?
2019.
What year?
2018.
1960. Okay. Hi, my name is Clay Tatum, and this is my review of Greeny Book. First 1963, now 2018. Shelley Long is a teacher. She wants to impress someone, but an adult did the painting. So, remember that? Jim Carrey is not allowed in the bar. Maybe it's because he's underage, just like me. Oops, I'm swindled on the P line. So that happened in the movie. Wit loves racist movie. I don't know, and I don't get it. Then racist man is no longer racist. I bet that pisses Wit off. And then they drive to the snow, and there's no racism in 1963. And for that and everything else I said, I give this movie an easy 10 out of 10.
Wow, that's a perfect score all the way around.
Ooby dooby, ooby dooby, come on, ooby dooby.
Wow. So out of all those scores, that's 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10. That's 40.
But we have to double that.
Because each is the 10 out of a 10.
And that's a...
So that's 20 plus 20 is 40 plus 20.
And that's 80.
That's 80, which is a B minus, which is a perfect score.
So back my pen, my guy. Thank you, Sam. Hey, yeah, Jack.
My mom leaves me a lot of voicemails, and it's always just like time zone math, essentially.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, keep going. Keep going.
Well, can I?
Yeah, let him
can
go.
Can I do my five?
Wait, I'm glad you stopped.
Oh.
Well, it seemed, that's what I was going to say. It seemed like you were about to do a joke.
Yeah.
Were you? Is that what you were about to do?
Yeah, that's not yet.
Is that not?
That's not until the end.
Yeah.
Seems like you
actually,
were
just... Let's do the joke now, and everyone will just say, okay, so our joke is coming up, and it's about, and you're about to hear it, and I want to give it a countdown from five.
Well, have you ever showcased for Fallon?
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to get...
Well, around here, we call him the pie guy, because he likes to throw pies in people's faces, and that's a... If you have comedy, that's like that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but...
You know about
this is how you showcase your count. I will count from 5 to 1, okay. And that's when you immediately start hitting those.
Wait, one second.
Do I say the punchline when you get to 1?
No, you say the setups for each joke, and then we're going to think about it as we do the rest.
And then
at the end, you'll tell us the punchlines.
I gotcha.
Wait.
That's how it works. And if it's funny still, then that means Fallon's ready for you.
I understand.
He's going to give you the classic okay, which is he's famous. For
yeah, then you get to sit on the you get to go, go
so
sit
let me
down
give
with
you,
him.
Let me
thank
give
you,
me,
sir.
Let me give you a countdown.
15-minute countdown.
That's long.
But no, I'm going to go down. What should we give him?
5.
Well, he's just doing his setup, so
just
that means two minutes and 15.
I can only go
seconds.
Down to 13.
Okay. So maybe he can just.
Are you ready?
I thought we were just going to count down.
No, I'll help. Are you ready?
Sure. Okay, and 5, 4.
No, wait.
What?
10 seconds to go. 8, 7.
Ready?
6.
Yes.
5, 4. 3, 2, 1. Time is up.
Whoa.
Go.
Okay.
Go.
I find out what sound I make when I get hit by a car, and it's not the sound I wish I made when I get hit by a car. I get a lot of voicemails from my mother. I listen to a lot of books on tape. I'm not so great at dating. Anyone here in a relationship? Can't say Eskimo anymore. Hey, have you guys ever noticed on shampoo bottles there's some weird stuff? That's the setups.
Wow.
Just the setups.
So far, good. I think you're definitely going to get it so right. far.
And then at the end of the episode, we'll add on the jokes.
And then imagine how much money they're going to get. Yeah. I mean, I don't want something. I've been burned like this before, and then they put the punchlines in the comments or something because we run out of time.
No, we won't run out of time.
No,
I already feel like they might be damaged by the fact that there's a gap.
No, that's how you know if they're really good. Okay. If by the end, it's like a perfect, thing in a movie where the thing guy says a thing in the beginning, and then the thing is said again at the end, and it's like, I love it.
But he never says like seven first halves.
Well, the Fallon audience is smart.
Do you know about callbacks? This is a callback.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, so, Mike.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Who's
Great
that?
Job.
Who is that?
Great job.
What?
Is that Siri?
Great job.
Clay, who is that?
Clay?
Clay?
Clay, who is
Great
it?
Great job.
Wait.
1 second.
Clay.
Yes.
Who Wait, is it?
There's a weird force has
Damn
gone.
It. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
You're not going to tell us who it is.
Who was that?
That was Fallon. He called in. I actually called Fallon right before we did the countdown.
Uh-huh.
And all I think he heard was the jokes. And that was his response. Stop calling me!
Whoa, time out. Michael Cohen's prepared statement to Congress says Trump knew of Roger Stone's efforts to contact WikiLeaks about hacked DNC emails. Breaking news! Breaking news!
As a heads up, we did double this week, and so this is going to be a slight delay. It's going to be a week delay.
Oh, man. That's good. That just popped up on my phone, and that's pretty – I didn't understand every single bit of it, but it sounded pretty big.
Yeah,
Michael Cohen. It's like clear that Trump is going to be impeached literally any day.
Yeah, and Michael Cohen will be our president, and I will be much happier.
And we're all standing up, and we're all saluting.
Yeah.
Michael Bryan, Michael Cohen.
So, Mike, you're clearly a New Yorker. You've been living in New York. You've lived in New York. You're a New York expert. We have real questions.
I'm so hot. It's so hot in here.
Wait, sorry, hold up. It's because of the energy.
It's from the last.
Can we just do the Fallon thing and then can I?
Well, no, you got to do the questions.
I got to pull up Lebanese music.
Okay, but we have some questions from the audience to you about New York.
Yes, ask me anything about New York. Amy, anything.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. On the count of... Wow, okay, Jesus, lots of questions.
Are you ready? Wait, I'm almost ready.
What?
Let's do it, pal.
All right, Evan Red Borgia asks, what's your favorite train?
Gotta be the two...
That's the New Yorker I know!
Yeah, the two. Where's that go?
Two goes straight to Greenpoint, with one stop on the way at the World Trade Center of Downtown Village.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I love that train. I've been on that train. I've had a slice on that train. All right, Mike. What is the worst thing to happen in New York?
The worst thing to happen in New York was when everyone fought in the Four Points. That was an Irish brawl that is soon to be forgotten.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Okay.
They meant ever?
Yeah. Is that it?
Well, yeah. He's cross-checking everything.
The brawl at the 5 points.
Brawl at the 5 points.
That was the worst. It's dirty and mean, and people were bad.
Okay, one person asks, New York hot dogs or New York pizza?
Ooh.
Classic.
Pizza.
Wow.
Okay.
Good.
Because the pizza is...
tasty.
All right, why is it called the Big Apple?
Because originally it was called New Amsterdam, and Amsterdam was always called the Big
Chiba.
Apple. The Big Chiba.
Really? Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's from Jin and Juice. Okay. Shannon Fahey asks, how big is it and where is the pizza?
Okay. And then this is the last one, or maybe just a few more. because I should do my punchlines. How big is New York? It's there's five boroughs. You can look all this stuff up. It's just as fast to Google it as to send in your questions. Where is the pizza? Every fucking two doors. There's a little deli that sells some pizza slices.
Okay. One more. Wow. Okay. All right. Firestyle Junk asks.
Wait, this is a really good one, right?
Yeah. How many buildings?
Count them. Count them, baby.
He is a New York expert. He should know.
Yeah.
As an expert of New York, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to lie, there are no less than 442 buildings in New York.
There is 442 buildings in New York City.
That's so many buildings.
Man, that's incredible. Yeah. Well, thank you all for asking those questions. Wow, Mike, you really knew those, like, immediately.
Yeah, I'm an expert about it. You live and learn, and I live that. So, all right. Next segment.
Beep, 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 beep.
Okay, Clay, you ready for him to do his final jokes for Fallon?
What type of you? I'm playing the New York, I Love New York song. So what? Wait, but this is, you're not always New York guy. What type of music would you like for Fallon?
I can take care of it.
No, I got it. Just give me just any words.
Well, he's totally pulled it up already. He's ready. Just...
Oh.
Okay.
Go ahead. What's up, everybody? You're listening to Mike's podcast.
Oh, no. Wow. Oh, no.
Check it out. I've got three guests today.
We got hijacked.
I'm here with three youngsters, underage. It's underage week on Mike's podcast. I'm 22. What's up? Where are you guys from? What do you like to kiss?
I'm from Alabama.
I'm from middle school.
We're both from middle school. Well, we both
all
like
in
to
middle
kiss.
School.
I like to kiss girls.
I'm still learning about myself.
I'll give my dog a kiss.
This was Mike's podcast. Check us out and ask us something.
All right.
Yeah.
This is way harder than I thought. It was hard to both do a song and say things. I respect what you guys do now.
Well, thank you.
That's why there's three of us.
So are you ready to deliver your final punchlines?
Oh, sure. So sorry. Yeah, I think maybe something like Nine Inch Nails-y.
Okay. So what type of music is that? That's like the sounds of pipes going off.
Yeah, it's like
pipe pipes, music.
Okay.
I think that's what they.
That's just what they do. Okay, so here we go.
The sound I make is no. And it's always like time zone math, like, oh, it's 3 p.m. in Michigan, so it's, I guess, noon in California. Actually, it's 3:15. Where's the day gone? So I guess 12:15. I wonder what it would be like. It makes me wonder what it would be like if they did an audiobook of the Kama Sutra. My mind said rinse and repeat, so I rinsed, smoked weed, and jerked off, took another shower. After a few more cycles, I was like, this shampoo is going to make my dong fall off.
Wow.
Wait, hold up. One second. Just keep on going.
That was the final punchline.
That was it.
Wow. I personally think that it's really funny. And I remembered all of the setups really well.
I felt like I was skipping around. There's even parts in the middles that I was leaving out sometimes. It's really, really hard to have the setups be so far.
Well, to me, it didn't seem weird.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it really worked for me.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, well, actually, oh, wait, that's a voicemail from Jimmy Fallon.
Good job, Mike. Mike is doing the show. Say hi to the roots for me.
For Jimmy?
Yes.
He doesn't talk to him.
Mike, you got the show.
I didn't know Jimmy wasn't speaking to the roots.
Well, he doesn't talk to them. They're so far away from him. So he's never. You get to stand right by him.
Yeah, you get to say hi to him for him.
I need more evidence than that voice.
Okay, wait. Let's see if he has anything else to say.
That's clearly Jimmy Fallon's voice.
Does he have anything else to
say? Wait. He's about to say who he is.
Where?
Who is this? Can I speak to?
I'm Jumbo Fallon.
Well, all right.
Wait, who are you?
I'm Jumbo Fallon.
Jumbo Fallon.
It's very nice to meet you, sir. I'm a big fan. I really, really love all the stuff you did with Horatio.
Why is he taking so long to respond?
Jumbo, love you too.
Do you have any other big questions for Jimmy?
Yeah, I guess. What was it like when candidate Trump was on and people all got mad that you tousled his hair?
Oh, this is a famous moment in the show. People got upset because Jimmy made it look like Trump looked really cute.
Oh, he's thinking. Wait, he has
It's coming all the way from New York.
Yeah, sorry, there's a lag.
Takes a while.
Jumbo says Trump is the president.
What was that?
Anything else?
That's it.
Jumbo says Trump is the president.
No, that is true, though. He's right.
You're right, but he wasn't the president at the time.
He's so quick on TV.
What are your political beliefs, Jimmy? Like, what do you think as far as politics go? Are you left-leaning? Are you right-leaning? Or are you just centrist?
Jumbo does the big Jumbo dance.
Oh, I think maybe he's drunk.
Jumbo does the big Jumbo dance.
Yeah, I think
it's like 2 a.m. in New York.
He's this very drunk. Okay, well, is there any? So Mike is doing your show on what? On what? I'm not sure what date, but do you have any advice for him, Jimmy? Do you have any advice for Mike?
Yeah.
And clearly, Mike, when you do the show, you'll get to tell the joke all the way through.
Yeah. Okay, good.
They don't make you wait.
That's a test that they make us make our showcase comics do that.
Got it.
To make sure they're still good. Got you know it. What I mean?
Yeah.
Here he comes.
Wait, this is his advice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one second. Hold up. He's thinking.
Jimmy?
Jumbo says, keep it big boy. You are Jumbo's number one man.
Keep it big boy.
What's the first half?
One more time?
Wait, what was I?
What was what?
Jumbo says, keep it big boy.
What are you reading?
He wrote it down for me. Jumbo says, keep. Oh, wait. Oh, what? Oh, wait. Now, he's giving me a thumbs up.
Wait, is he?
Jumbo says, keep up the good work, big boy. You are Jumbo's number one man.
Wow.
Okay, so he just says,
well, you've been listening to Mike at Night.
Okay. Wow. That was a brief.
Brief.
Okay, that's just a short podcast.
My man, we were running into the same issue that we ran in before where the mic comes out and we don't have our outro music.
Yeah.
So are we going to do what we normally do?
Which is what?
Play it from other episodes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Or yeah, we can play it from another episode.
Cue it up.
Okay, but
feels like you guys are.
What's up?
What
are you gonna say?
A well-oiled machine tonight.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Wait, let me just. If you could just bear with me, I had to find the start point for this.
I have given you so much.
One second, I need
Mike. You gotta settle down. You're on Fallon.
I don't believe I am.
To somebody usually, but comes and then retires.
This is what. Oh wait, Joe Pera's still getting this.
Tire.
That's Joe Pera.
He's in my mouth.
About do say becomes.
Yep. Make big friends so you can make big movie.
Okay.
All right. See you, Martin.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Okay, get ready.
So I have to listen to some other freaking guest for a few seconds saying goodbye.
The keyboard broke.
What are we supposed to do?
Never do this podcast. Never do it.
Okay. That is some good advice.
You'll hear the drums. Okay, outro us, my guy.
All right, thank you for doing the podcast, Mike.
I'm not yelling over another guest.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for so much for doing
this. Thank you.
That's been another episode of the American Arts and Culture Review Podcast. My name is
Never do this.
And I'm with my number one co-host, Clay Tatum.
Don't forget to buy our dirty merch.
We have have our number one guest, Michael Bryan.
Never do this. Never do this. If you're here, if you can hear me, if anyone's out there, never do this.
Also, go to teespring.com. We still have some dirty merch there. Thank you.
Also, we have thank you, our audience member, Rod. And thank you, Mike, New York expert.
If anyone can hear me, if my mic is on, do not do this podcast. Do not do this podcast.
Mike is doing a goof right now. He's having a lot of fun.
Mike loved the podcast.
Basically a hot box with three maniacs whose equipment doesn't work in an equipment-based podcast. Do not do this podcast.
Mike's actually having a great time. It's not a big deal. Okay.
Hi, everybody.
This is someone else's episode. No, this is Joe Rogan. Part of your outro music is a full podcast from Joe Rogan.
Well, it's auto playing. It goes to the next one. Okay, well, and of course, I subscribe to Joe Rogan.
The retail middle person. That's what fucks everything up. It costs a lot of money to run those
what
stores
is going
and keep
on?
The lights on. Well, Movement Watches cuts all that out.
Wow. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
All right, Forever Dog, thank you.
All right.
Any final words, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Anything you want to promote? Is there a thing that you're doing?
We got a lot of listeners.
Yeah, if there's a thing that you're doing, now is a good time to bring it up.
I don't know. No, not really.
All right, that's perfect.
Okay, bye, Mike.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.